called him to be to the mission field from here and to Romania, Brother Jim Morgan, and he worked here on our staff and in the bus ministry and all the different things here with us. And of course, we've had one of his sons in college this year, James, and we got another one coming, right? Amen. And Brother Morgan is doing good over there in Romania. Praise God. Many of you were praying here for Benjamin. Benjamin had his younger son had an attack here the other day and scared us up, but boy, a lot of prayers went up to heaven in a hurry. Jim may say something about that tonight. I want to ask him to come and take the service. He told me he had a new little video. He'd show some of it and speak to us tonight. So Brother Jim, I'm going to go down there where I can enjoy it. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Carter. I'll say a little bit more, but I'm going to go ahead and have him start this video. It's just a little overview of our ministry, give you a good good idea of what we're doing over there. Guess I ought to talk just for another second. Amen. Sure do appreciate your folks praying for us, praying for my son Benjamin, the little crisis he had Friday. But Lord brought us out of it. People immediately started telling us they were praying for him, and we sure appreciate that. All right, we'll go ahead and have them start that out. We arrived in Romania in 1995. Our ministry here in the Onești area began in 1999. In this city of 50,000 souls, there are many churches, but none preach the clear gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have planted Biserica Baptista Independente.
This is the hometown of Nadia Comăneci, the famous Olympic gymnast. There's also a unique sculpture placed in honor of Mihai Eminescu, one of Romania's most talented poets. There's a well-known church built by one of their most beloved rulers, Ștefan cel Mare. With all of this rich political, commercial, and religious heritage, there was no clear gospel witness until 1999 when we planted Biserica Baptista Independente. We offer children a place to learn the Word of God. We have fellowship together. However, our primary reason for meeting is the preaching of the Word of God.
Atunci împlinim Biblia, când venim aici, dar aceasta nu este doar viață, sunt mulți care vin la biserică care vor ajunge în iad. Pentru că n-am împlinit cuvântul lui Dumnezeu. Știți, nu este destul să citim dacă nu facem. Dacă nu dăm ascultare la cuvântul lui Dumnezeu. De a asculta fizic cu oreche e ușor.
Mă numesc Vasile, am vârsta de 35 de ani. Acum 15 ani am fost aici.
My name is Vasile, I'm 35 years old. I was saved here 15 years ago. I'm glad I have a church here. I would like to thank Pastors Jim and Patrick I thank God that we met and I found salvation here. I'm thankful for all the missionaries.
I have the joy of teaching these children about Jesus and watching them growing as they hear the Word of God.
Cu două săptămâni în urmă am pierdut o soră și un frate în foc.
2 weeks ago in a fire, I lost my little brother and my sister, and I alone escaped. And I'm thankful for this church here in Onești. Because of it, I was able to get saved. And I know that the Lord has a plan for my life in the future.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to help my husband, especially in the children's ministry. We are praying that God will raise up leaders from among them. I count it an honor serving with my husband here in Onești.
We have the joy of seeing this family come to know Christ through our ministry 10 years ago. What a joy it's been to watch them grow. Now, recently, they've taken in 2 young men who suffered a tragedy in their home. The Apostle John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Visitation is the key to bringing people under the sound of the gospel. Visiting people where they are show that you are interested in them and in what they do. Our true interest is bringing them to Jesus. Another small ministry that we have is teaching 2 classes in the orphanage.
Help us to get these into the hands of folks who will read them and use them.
Another method we use in getting out the gospel is tract distribution.
Today we're handing out tracts in a middle-class apartment complex.
One vital part of our ministry is driving into the mountains to remote gypsy villages. These gypsies have assimilated somewhat into Romanian society. We have established a work among these folks that has been ongoing for several years.
This is going to be about how to behave in church, how to behave in church.
As you can see, most of these children are gypsies of all ages. We are praying that God will raise up leaders from among them.
And then there's the preaching. We not only preach the gospel, but we want to teach them Christian principles that will help them as they try to live a life for Jesus Christ.
It's a privilege to lead the music with the children. It's a great blessing to me to hear these children praise God with their song.
Pentru cafea? Poate. Dar e ca să ține un lucru or să.
Each week, one of my brothers or I will prepare an object lesson. We will use an everyday object that these children can understand or relate to teach them biblical principles and godly living.
Hai să zicem două zile, ce se întâmplă? E bun? E bun după două zile, da? Dar dacă băgați în frigider, ține pentru două, trei zile, poate o săptămână.
Aproape am terminat, dar când am terminat, nu mișcați, că avem și ceva pentru voi. Mi-e frig, am uitat geaca mea. Dar am adus și câte ceva pentru voi, mai cald, mai gros de haine pentru voi, ok? Dar pentru mine... Over the years, many children and adults have made professions of faith through this unique ministry. Someday we plan to establish a local church in this village. Pray for us. Pray that God will send laborers into this ministry.
You've seen our ministry here in the Onest area. It is impossible to show you in the time that we have the magnitude of the work that needs to be done. For example, to the left and behind us, there's a village. There are hundreds of these villages right here in this area. Could we enlist you to pray for us? Would you consider supporting us? Would you consider even coming and helping us in the work?
Well, I'd ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'd like to take this time right now to thank the folks here at Landmark Baptist Church for, number one, being our sending church. You not only hold a rope for us, but you're the end of the rope, amen, and it all comes back to you. The work that we do in over there is a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. I consider us sent and representatives directly of this church. We want to follow the principles that were laid down here exactly, and duplicate those principles in Romania. And so we appreciate, first of all, you praying for us. A prime example is what happened Friday when my son began to show signs of an aneurysm or a stroke, and word went out quickly, and people began to pray, and everything came out just fine on that. He went to Bucharest, had an MRI. There was no tumor, stroke, no aneurysm or anything. The neurologist determined that it was only some kind of a cerebral migraine, they said, and that we can begin to explore what triggers these things and maybe find some way to prevent them. But the main thing is it was not an aneurysm and it wasn't a stroke, and I believe that much of that can be laid at the feet of those who prayed here in this church and all over the country for us. And we just, it means a lot to us. Another thing I'd like to thank you for is taking care of my son, James. I appreciate you folks that have taken him in and given him free meals and helped him out and things like that. I appreciate it. The folks that have taught him and mentored him and give him encouragement. I just really, it means a lot to me. It means this is really my home church. And it's his home too. Looking forward to Jeremiah getting here this fall. He's working right now. I'm too cheap to pay for college, so I make him work for the summer and the rest of the year too if I have to. Amen. So I appreciate I appreciate you praying for him. He's looking forward to getting down here. By the way, nobody even told him he had to. He got up this morning, went down to the bus lot at the church he's at, got on the bus. I appreciate that. All right, let's go ahead and jump into this right here. Let's open, we're in 1 Peter chapter number 2. And we'll start reading here in verse number 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'd help me now to have clarity of thought. I pray that you'd help me to overcome the nervousness that I feel right now. Help me, Lord, to deliver your message, your way. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, encourage us, challenge us, convict us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a missionary. I see everything as a missionary now, it seems like. Every passage of Scripture seems like it speaks of missions, and this one does. I would like to just take a minute and give you a little bit of Baptist history as regards to missions that I think could be applicable to this. Years ago, in the 1830s, there was a division among the Baptists. There was a division between the missions-minded Baptist and the anti-missions Baptist. The anti-missions Baptist called themselves the old school Baptists. And they did not like the program that the Baptist churches that had organized during that day. They did not like the program for missions. And so they would nitpick all the different ways they would send the missionaries out, saying that we ought to do it the Bible way. So in 1832 in Virginia, the first division among the Baptists happened, and the old school Baptists separated from the missions or missionary Baptists of that day. And this went on for several years until about 40% of all Baptist churches were calling themselves old school. Another name was called hard shell Baptist. Now, it's an interesting thing. They were nitpicking the methods of sending missionaries, but one thing you figure from history is they just didn't believe in missions at all, because you can't find a primitive Baptist church. By the way, you've got one down the street. Have you ever seen the sign? They meet first Sunday of every month. I've never met a primitive Baptist missionary sent under any method. And very seldom do you ever see a primitive Baptist church. At one time in America, 40% of the Baptist churches were primitive Baptist churches. Here's what happens whenever a church does not have the heart for missions. They die. The graveyard is bigger than the church, than the congregation. Because there's no life without missions. And so I'm going to preach about missions tonight. It'll be a little more practical than that, but it'll make my life as a missionary has given me a few insights into some things that maybe you've never seen it this way before, unless you have moved here to this country from another country. And so I want to take and I want to emphasize down here in verse number 10, verse number 11 of chapter 2, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Strangers and pilgrims. God's talking, Peter is talking to God's people. You understand that the Bible was written to Christians, not to lost people. The New Testament was written mostly for us, I believe, as a New Testament church. And so he is beseeching us as strangers and pilgrims. In Romanian, the word for a foreigner, the word they use is actually a stranger. So I come to Romania, I'm a stranger. And there's a reason why they call you a stranger, because you're strange. And we are strange in Romania. Now you say, you didn't go there to change their culture. I didn't go there to change their culture. As much as I can, I try to adapt to their culture, but I am still strange. Now you heard me on the DVD preaching in Romanian, and you probably thought I sounded pretty good, but to the Romanians, I sound pretty bad. I've got a pretty bad accent. You know, I will never fit in to Romanian society. I will always, if I stay there for another 40 years, I will always be a stranger in Romania. All I got to do is open my mouth and they know that I'm a stranger. By the way, the Bible says we're all strangers and pilgrims. And we ought to be strange. We ought to be different. The things we do ought to set us apart. We ought to be able to open our mouth and people ought to know that we're strangers. That we're not from around here, even though we may have grown up here. Whenever I got to Romania, I was there for the first Thanksgiving. We were in Romania. And there was a young lady who was kind of coming over a couple days a week and helping my wife out around the house so she could get a little more homeschooling done. And it was coming up on Thanksgiving. We said, well, it would be a blessing to this young lady if we took her to a Thanksgiving dinner. And we were having a big American Thanksgiving dinner up in Bush Den with one of the older missionaries up there, and he had invited us all up, and man, we cooked up everything we could, and he had found one of his neighbors had a scrawny chicken, I think it was. They said it was a turkey, but they'd cooked up some turkey, and we'd rolled it out. We were having we had all saved up everything folks had sent us from the States, you know, the can of pumpkin pie filling and stuff like that, and we had just made us a big spread, and this girl came into the house, and she started walking around the tables looking at that food, and she said, man, this is strange. You folks are strange. You eat this? And there was corn, and there was all kinds of stuff, and said, this is stuff we feed to our pigs. This is strange. I ain't eating this stuff. That poor girl liked to starve to death in the midst of a feast. We're strange. Everything we do is strange. Our ideas are strange. I come from America. You know, as bad as it is in America, you can usually get your tags renewed within an hour at the tag office. It takes a week, at least in Romania. I mean, you can get your driver's license if you pass your test and everything. The day you pass your test in Romania, it takes a couple of months. I'm not used to that. I'm going to tell you. I'll get in there and I'll be standing in some line and I start acting strange. Listen, I'm never going to fit in. I'm always going to be strange in Romania. Maybe my kids might fit in a little bit better, but I'm never going to fit in. My wife is never going to fit in. And we ought to never fit in where we live. We're strangers. It's strange the things that we do. I remember right after I started going to church, I was up in Seattle, Washington. I was going to deep sea diving school. Boy, you folks, you just don't know. I've had all kinds of lives. That was one of my other lives. I was a deep sea diver, and I went to deep sea diving, paid bunches of money for that, went 6 months, and I actually worked one day as a deep sea diver. My brother-in-law flipped his boat out in Lake Conway in Arkansas in 8 foot of water. And I did a deep sea dive in 8 foot of water to recover his boots and his tackle box. But I'm in deep sea diving school, and I started going to church, and God began to deal with me about some things, and I started carrying my Bible with me to school. And that first day, I carried my Bible, and I had all my books, and I laid that pile of stuff on the big table there. I was sitting behind, and usually there was two or three guys that sat at the same table with me. And they came in, and they sat down, and they seen that Bible, and they got up, and they moved to another place. That was strange. They would come up, and they would tell me a joke. And I would just kind of turn around and walk off. What happened to you? He said, one of them said, did you become one of them born-agains? I tell you what, when you get saved, you start acting kind of strange. And I beseech you, strangers, we're strangers. We'll never fit in. I'm a stranger. The things I do are different. I'm under a microscope 24 hours a day. They're always watching. They're always, when we started building our houses, I put down Patrick's foundation, and we started laying the floor joist across there and putting the OSB on top of the floor joist. And some of the kids that come to our church, they were talking about riding on the bus. And as the bus would go by our house, everybody would look out the window. And they said, what are them Americans making over there? They must be making a playhouse for their kids. And it was a 28 by 32 playhouse, but... we started building that thing, and that thing went up in 3 or 4 days, and they said, man, that's strange, because they build everything out of concrete. If it doesn't weigh a couple of tons per square foot, it's not made right. So we put those things together, and that was strange. And so everything we do is strange. Nothing, you know, why aren't we that way here? Why do we try to fit in? God says we're strangers. We're strangers. But let's look at this other word here. It says we're pilgrims. When you think of a pilgrim, we think about maybe in 1620 when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. Why were they called pilgrims? Have you ever studied their history just a little bit? They started out in England, and they were persecuted chased and imprisoned. And so they left England and they went to Holland trying to just find a place where they could worship God the way they wanted to worship God. And they stayed in Holland a while, and it wasn't all that great in Holland. They moved back to England and they couldn't find a place. So finally they rented a boat and they went to the United States and landed at Plymouth Rock. They were pilgrims. They had no place to stay. They couldn't find a home. Think about Abraham. God says, get out of this country and start traveling. And you're going to travel until you get to a country that I'm going to show you. And he traveled, and he traveled, and he traveled, and he finally got to the country, and God said, this is the country, but you're not going to own any of it, not even so much as to put your foot on it. You're not going to own this country. You're going to be a stranger. Imagine Abraham coming into town. He's got his herds with him, and he's got his servants with him, and he camps out just outside of town, and the folks from outside of town come out, and they say, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm just passing through. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just following. Who told you? Here's the question I get all the time. Mr. Morgan, why did you leave America to come to Romania? What are you doing here? And let me tell you something. The answer I give is a strange answer. It's the same answer Abraham gave. God told me. What? God told me. Now, do you ever get embarrassed when you have to give that answer? Sometimes it's a little embarrassing to say that. Let me just be open with you. I'm human too. I get a little embarrassed to witness for God sometimes. God told me. What? Did you hear a voice? No, but I know this is where he wants me. And okay. You know, I'm glad that in order to get a visa, I don't have to pass a psychological evaluation, because they all think I'm crazy. It never fails whenever I meet somebody new, and they of course immediately know that I'm not from Romania, then they'll ask me, why did you come to Romania when all of us here in Romania want to go to America? Right. By the way, let me just interject something on the political side. You know what they do to people that don't get a visa in Romania? Yeah. they ship them out. Okay, now don't get mad at me, but they don't do things right over there, a lot of things, but they do things right in that. Right after the we went into Iraq, Romania began to ship out all Muslims that were not citizens of their country. Say, well, that's not right. Well, I don't know. They haven't had any terrorist activity in Romania. You know, I'm not afraid to go get on the plane in Bucharest, but I do get a little nervous whenever I'm getting on the plane in London. And Hussein is the baggage handler. Hey, I'm not joking. The guy that was standing at the gate whenever I got on, his name was Hussein Omar or something. I'm not afraid in Bucharest, but I get a little nervous in Miami. I do. We go into the visa office, and there's a whole wall of people they're looking for. They're looking for Omar, and they're looking for Ahmed, and they're looking for, why? They violated their visas. They're coming after them. They'll ship you out. They'll even ship out Americans if we don't go down and get our visas on the right time. That's only right. That's the rules. We ought to respect those. Amen? That's not unreasonable. They kind of expect me to speak their language while I'm there too. Now, it would have been nice if they had all learned English for my benefit, but they didn't do that. We wouldn't have had to do a new translation of the Bible into Romanian, but anyway, listen. We're pilgrims. We don't belong here. Look, go if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth, on the earth. We're talking about the hall of faith here. Here's the people. We've looked at, here we've looked at the up to Abraham up to this point. Talked about Enoch, and they confess, we're strangers, we're pilgrims on the earth. We don't really belong here. We've got a better country. We've got a better home. We got somewhere else to go. We've got a lot of promises here. A lot of people are questioning the promises. Where is the promise of His coming? Oh man, that guy last week made that prediction, and now everybody's saying, yeah, look, you nutcases out there, where is the promise of His coming? I don't care what the nutcases say, the Bible's true. Amen. He is coming. I believe it's going to be pre-tribulational. Amen. But listen to me. Our real home is over there. There's a verse here that really spoke to me. It's verse 15. Look at this. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Let me make an application as a missionary. I've been in Romania for 16 years. I've seen many missionaries leave the field. Some of my good friends. It hurts when they leave. I believe I know why they left, and I understand why they left. I'm not as old as some. Won't name names. But I'm getting real sentimental. It doesn't take much for me to cloud up and rain anymore. Um, I'm leaving a son behind in Arkansas just a few days ago, and man, that's difficult. I come here to the States and I see how things even today work so much easier than they do in Romania. How much easier, you know, not to have to every year go through that gut-wrenching tension and fear of getting a visa. Yeah. Things like this. And how I could leave that. That's all easy stuff until you start leaving your kids behind. And I've watched the missionaries down through the years when their kids get to be the age of my kids. And the kids go home and go to college or one thing or another. And within a few years, the missionaries turn around and go home too. Yeah. Or they'll buy a home in the States as an investment. And I'm not against that. If you're smart enough to do stuff like that. But folks, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've got to be careful that we don't become too mindful, we as missionaries, of the country that we came from. And we begin to miss the things that we had. You know, I missed Wendy's. I missed the all-you-can-eat buffets. Now I'm hurting. Whenever I'm back here, it kills me, but I still like to eat it. I miss a decent pizza. If they had been mindful of that country, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. So many things pull at us and cause us to try to return. We're pilgrims here. Here's what we tend to do. We'll look back at what we had before we were saved. And we'll say, you know, I used to have so much fun. And now I can't do those things anymore because that silly church down there makes me dress funny. Yeah. I can't dress the way I used to dress, so I can't do that stuff no more. Man, poor me. Yeah, amen, preacher. I guess you're the only one. I can't listen to the music I used to listen to anymore, and it was such good music. You know, it's been years and years and years since I got saved, and those songs still come up in my mind. You know, sometimes we get pulled that direction. We want to return. I don't understand why there's always the mixed multitude in the church that wants to go back. And they don't want to go back by themselves. They want to drag the whole church with them. And they want to put the drum set up here just like they used to listen to when they were lost. And they want to, hey, we can win them better that way, can't we, brother? Yeah, what you win them with is what you win them to. Yeah, I'll get that too. I want to go back to that country sometimes. I want to return. I'll see the leeks and the garlics and the onions and all that fish, all that stinky stuff. It looks pretty good whenever it's arranged on the table a certain way, doesn't it? And we get to paying too much attention to that country back there where we came from. And we start thinking, maybe I ought to go back. And you've forgotten what you came out of. And you don't realize that the real joy is right where you're at. Listen to me. I left my son up in New York and I didn't get half a mile out of town. I had to pull over. But I love the people in Romania. I want to go back there. But more than that, I love my heavenly home. There are some people in Romania that I hope will get saved and meet me there. Man. There are some folks over there that I'd like to see them become soul winners and church planters. You see, that's the country that God sent me to on this earth. I'm a U.S. citizen. I've got a passport. But really, let me show you what really represents my life. This is what really represents my life. This is my ID card from Romania. It says Ședere Temporară. Now you heard the temporară, temporary. It says a temporary stay permit. Yeah. You know what? Your U.S. passport that you have, or your documentation that you're a U.S. citizen, it really is just like this. It's only temporary. Doesn't last forever. A friend of mine was, he was a second missionary to move to Romania to live there on a permanent basis. I'm going to show you just how smart missionaries are. And we're all the same. We're just as smart. We're all very intelligent. He's making, this is in 1990, he's making his arrangements to travel to Romania. And so he's talking to the travel agency, and he's trying to cut every dime off of his expenses to get over to Romania so he can have plenty of startup money when he gets there, because he has no idea what it's going to cost or anything. So he was able to save $100 per ticket to get to Romania. The airplane flew him to Lisbon, Portugal. Do you know your geography? Lisbon, Portugal is nowhere near Romania. And he got on a train in Lisbon, Portugal, and traveled for 2 days to get to the Romanian border. His wife had just had a baby a month, 4 weeks before that. And he had six kids about this big, and each one of them had 2 70-pound bags of luggage plus 2 big carry-ons that they had taken with us. And every time he'd have to change trains, he himself would have to unload all that luggage. And sometimes he would get into a car and he'd get to the next stop and somebody else had bought that car that he was in, and he'd have to take all of his luggage and move over to the next car. Anyway, make a long story short, he gets to Romania and he's standing at the border, and the border guards got his passports and they say, "You are not an American. You're a spy from another country." And he's got that AK-47 pointing at him. He said, "No, I don't believe you. You are not from this country. You're not from America. You're from somewhere else, and you're a spy." And this went on for about 45 minutes, and Gary Matheny, he is just sweating blood. He is just nervous as all get out. He said, "Man, I've come all this way. I am so tired. I haven't slept for days, and I just don't know what to do." And finally, the guy started laughing. He goes, "I know where you're from. Your country is in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a Christian. Our citizenship is not here on this earth." Now, if you read on in 1 Peter chapter 2, you'll find that we do have a duty as citizens of the countries that we live in, to be good citizens and to participate. But let me say this, really and truly, we live up there. I'm already there, as far as the Bible's concerned. That's where I live. We think that this is it. Whoever accumulates the most stuff wins, right? And we've got our garages so full, we can't even turn around in them. We can't park our cars in them anymore. We got stuff, and then we got stuff on top of the stuff. We don't have any place to put it. We try to sell it and nobody else wants it, or they want it so they can put it with their stuff. We've accumulated and we've accumulated, just like we think that this is it.
Yeah.
And we've forgotten where our real home is. You know what the worst thing that could happen to us is? We could die and go home. Are you living like this is your home, or are you living like that's your home? It changes the way you look at things. It changes the way you approach life. It changes your priorities. You know what's a sad thing to see? Is people that really and truly got saved, but they never left home. They stayed at home. They stayed in the country that they came from. You know what the problem with that is? They're just as saved today as the day they got saved 20, 25, 30 years ago. You know what the problem with that is? They're going to go to their country by themselves. Their kids and their family's going to stay behind. Now that country's not going to be near as sweet. I've heard Brother Carter say it many times, heaven's so much sweeter now because Brother Pete Pitts is there waiting on us. Or somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't have anybody there waiting on you, it's not going to be so sweet. We're pilgrims here. This isn't our home. I like inviting people over to my house. Do you ever invite anybody home with you? I'm not talking about your house down here on 10th Street or wherever you live. I'm talking about right up there on Hallelujah Square. Are you inviting people home with you? We're pilgrims right here. We don't live here. This isn't our home. Let's take somebody home with us. Let's invite some folks to go with us to heaven. That's our real home. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the home that you have prepared and been preparing for 2,000 years. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who made the way.